Yeah. And we're almost shivering here. I believe the temperature is probably about 60 degrees with a nice cool breeze right here on the campus of the Space Center in Huntsville, Alabama, talking to Lena Bell Dorn, who is a leader from Mason County. Thank you. It helps. Usually when we start doing this sort of thing, Lena Bell, we ask people where they were born and where. You want to tell me that?
Yes. Born in Mason County, April 23rd, 1935.
Oh, you're a lot younger than I am, so.
2 years, maybe? Sure I am.
You are, definitely.
Oh, okay.
I'm a 31 baby.
Okay.
In Mason County, was your father in agriculture production?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And my mother stayed at home, and rural community.
Okay. Rural. What was the community?
Mason County.
Oh, Dover. Okay, Dover, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, that's Dover. Okay.
You have brothers and sisters, too, I guess.
Seven brothers and sisters.
My goodness.
Yes.
Now, that's a big family.
Yes, it is. I lost my oldest brother in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting fewer by the day.
Yep.
We're down to four.
Well, it's that's the way things are.
I know.
Where did you go to school?
Dover.
Oh.
And Minerva.
All right. Mm-hmm. Were you active in 4-H when you were growing up?
No.
Why not?
Well, when they offered 4-H, I got terribly upset because I didn't have someone to help me. And one of my very best friends had someone to help her, and she did a little more than I thought she should. So, therefore, I didn't stay in 4-H.
Okay.
But, okay, to my regrets, I think that probably I should have stayed. But I got terribly upset.
How did you get involved in 4-H, then, if you refused to be a 4-H member?
Well, the homemakers were making hats. We were wearing hats. And we were constructing hats from scratch or just everything from bottom up. And the girl from Dover was making a tailored outfit. And she came to me and asked me, would I help her construct a hat? And I said, yes. So from that day forward, I've been in 4-H in every phase. So it's been a long time.
Now, what you say a long time. When were you making these hats?
1953.
Well, that has been quite a while.
Yes, it was. And we made beautiful hats, and she made a beautiful tailored outfit with a beautiful hat.
43 years.
And that's how I started. Yes.
So what was the first thing that you did in 4-H other than getting involved in this hat business?
Well, I think I started with everything. I think I didn't know the difference. And she really wasn't all this active. And then I had Anna Lutz Myers,
mm-hmm.
and then Lillian Hickson Rice. And after Lillian came along, I think I became more involved than I were any other times. And mm-hmm. I really did a lot in a lot of things. And I had one of my girls come to me the other day. She's teaching the gifted and talented children in Washington. And Betty said, Lena Bell said, do you remember the first thing I helped you with? And I said, sure, you started with an apron. She said, you were the greatest factor in my sewing all through college. She tailored, helped pay her way through college. And she said, when my kids are in plays and my class needs outfits, she makes all of those, like the Wizard of Oz. She made everything for the Wizard of Oz. So she gives me credit, but she did that herself. But that started her and piqued her interest in clothing and sewing.
Goodness. What a tribute to you.
Well, it's nice because it's easy to work with her, and it's easy to work with all the kids. And I have to say that those children I started out with, I have second and third generation today. So does that tell you something?
Well, either they don't have anybody else to go to, or you have done an excellent job.
Well, we just happen to be a small community, and they just sort of come back, and this is the way it works. So there's several that we have in second and third generation.
This is over near Augusta?
Well, it's in Dover, Mason County, and Minerva. And when we started in Mason County, or when I started, see, we had all school clubs. And every school had real active 4-H, and I started in Dover. And then when they moved the schools, began moving the schools, Dover moved to Minerva. Then I helped at Minerva, and then Minerva moved, went to the high school. So we have lost our local schools, and I tried helping in the high school with Roger Rennekamp.
Mm-hmm.
in the school grades, and we would go out and we'd have 250 kids looking at us, and they'd say, all these questions, and what do we need now? So then we started our community clubs, and I've helped with, started the Dover Live Wires, and I came through with the Dover Live Wires, and I think the greatest thing that came out of the Dover Live Wires, out of that club, we had five that attended Club Congress, and that's a tribute to 18 kids out of one club.
My goodness.
So then, when the Dover Live Wires dispersed, we went into the Dover Supersonic, and we are including children from any place in the county that wants to belong to the Supersonic Club. It's a little hard working because of the different range of miles, but we do survive and we are doing okay.
Mm-hmm. So what other projects have you worked with youngsters in besides tailoring?
Well, let's see, clothing, foods, camp, the variety show, speeches, demonstrations. I think anything that 4-H has had to offer, I've helped teach in one place or the other in the county.
Mm-hmm. You take the kids to camp?
33 years.
Oh, goodness.
33 years.
I am amazed that you have survived that.
33 years, some of the best times of my life. I met a young man the other day, and in Thanksgiving, we were serving Thanksgiving dinner for the homeless, but sort of the folks that don't have meals. And I said to him, I said, do you remember me by any chance? And he said, oh, Mrs. Darn, how could I ever forget you? The best years of my life were when I went to camp with you. And I said, well, gee, it's nice that you remembered me, because I thought after all these years, but maybe I'll tell you a little bit about camping.
Okay, tell me about camping.
Okay, we were going to Carter Cave State Park, and we were camping in their facilities, and we were camping near the folks that also camped at random, and at night when we got ready to do our Vesper programs or dancing or whatever, they came and participated with us. We went swimming in the lake, 10 foot of water, took our kids to the lake with only one lifeguard, let the kids go off the 10 foot diving board, never any fear. We walked 2 miles to the lake, sometimes twice a day, and those were the fun times. Good for everyone. I wouldn't dare take a child today. And at that time, we had districts rather than areas. So we were in the Carter County districts, and when North Central began to raise the money for the camp, I was also helping as a leader in Bracken County, both counties. I worked 8 years, and so I would go to camp, and they finally invited Mason County to become a member of North Central, which was awfully nice of them. Then we had to raise all this money so that we'd be invited. But we lost the contact, I think, when we did that, because Mason County would take from 100 to 125, 30 kids and go to Carter Caves, and we would camp by ourselves and run the entire camp alone.
Wow.
But I think the walking and one week and out all of those years have camp food been so bad we couldn't eat. And that week when we got out and got on the bus and we stopped down at the lunchroom, they said, geez, everybody hungry. And we had all lost pounds and pounds because of constant walking. And we wouldn't eat the food. We couldn't eat the food. So that's my experience at Carter Caves. And
Did you literally camp out there? I mean, did you put up tents?
We had tents.
Okay.
And we had some cabins. And we had a concrete, I don't know what you would call it. We called it a fountain in the center. And the girls came out, and that's where we brushed her teeth, washed her face, and so on and so forth. And my kids always wanted to stay in tents. I never went. I always took clean clothes, but I never had clean clothes because of the tents. But my kids always wanted to stay. And the other thing that was a fun time, my niece was 5 years old, and if a leader wanted to take someone with them, they were permitted. So I didn't have children of my own, so I took Joyce, and they participated in everything. If they got tired, they went back and took a nap and what have you. So children are not permitted today, not of camp age in most cases, to go. We even had babies sometimes that stayed in tents. But the last year that we camped at Carter Caves, it became really hard because the camping groups became closer and closer to us, and it was just like a dividing line between us. And we got so afraid that our children would become involved with people that were camping, and it wasn't always good. So the last year we camped at Carter Caves was really a good time to make a change because of the way things were happening. And so shall I tell you about North Central? Or you want me to go
were
on
you,
to see?
Were you really involved in North Central fundraising, too?
Yes.
Very much.
Okay. Oh, dear. Well, see, Bracken County raised $5,000.
Yeah.
So I helped Bracken County. Then I went over to help clean all the things in the kitchen, everything with Bracken County. Then when Mason County had to raise theirs. Gee, we sold things at court day. We had auctions. We did everything to raise money. And we were so glad when we were invited. And we've had a lot of fun times at North Central. And I might tell you about this, one of the fun times with Walter Manning. I think a lot of times, it's been fun time. I've never had a bad time at camp. Mason County's always had a super bunch of kids, and we've never had any problems with our kids at camp.
And Walter was your ag agent at the first time.
Well, no, he was our youth agent.
Oh, right.
And then he retired from that and went into
being
an ag agent.
Mm-hmm.
So we taught the kids that year the swamp boats. Well, of course, all the children had all these dirty, dirty clothes, you know. So we told them they had to leave them out and dry. They couldn't put them in a suitcase. So anyway, this girl stacked hers, and we had to make everybody into their suitcases. But we went to the lake that night, and we didn't know what they were doing. So they had planned to swamp the boat with Walter and I in, because we were in the boat race. And would you believe, none of the staff or none of the kids could swamp our boat. Walter Ming says, they're not getting any wet, Lenaville. They're not getting any wet. And they didn't get to swamp the boat. But we've just had a really fun time with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think I told you the other day, one of the camp managers, we've had all kinds of camp managers.
Sure.
And I think going to camp, I've always thought it was for the children. And when we went in, we had our discussion about what we were supposed to do. Then we would take care of our own problems within our own county.
Sure.
And this fellow wouldn't let us in the office, and he wouldn't let us use the phone, and he wouldn't let us sit on the front porch, and he wouldn't let us do this and any other. So we told him if he wasn't good and didn't act like a civilized person, we were going to put him in the pool. So he didn't believe us. So we put him in the pool, clothes and all,
good.
Full and all.
Good. Good.
So after that, he opened the office. He let us sit on the front porch.
He wanted to keep you down in the basement where nobody could see you.
I know. But he was really nice. We've had all kinds of experiences. We've had from wanting to put a teenager in the cabin with us, and we didn't like that, and from not letting us eat food in the cabin, we didn't like that. So we thought camp was for the kids to have a good time, and we always had to clean everything. So
mm-hmm.
Camp managers over the years have changed. And Miss Ornella from Robinson County was this little lady. So one night, this little fellow from Woodford County, we were camping with Woodford County, and they made fun of him. And he got out and disappeared on us. And we walked and we looked and we thought he was on camp. Well, we couldn't find him. So finally we hit the highways and somebody would pick him up and drop him. And he almost got home to Versailles before we found him. And that's one experience. We were up all night. And we said, why'd you do that? And he said, I got mad. That kid made fun of me and I'm going home. So we took him back to camp and they called his parents and said, you come and get him. And you come and get him. Right. But Miss Neely, I can see her around that little flashlight, you know, looking for this little boy. But it scared us. It really did.
Yeah, you were 5 feet tall.
No. And she was so upset because she had to do these kind of things. And I don't know if I can tell you this or not, but Walter and I took 5 black girls along with the other kids from Mason County. And they had their mind made up when they were leaving Mason County that they were going to torment Lenaville. And they turned tormented me all week. They sprayed my clothes with black flag, and every day that they could do anything, they would torment me until I lost my patience, and I said, if you don't get to the top of the hill, you're going to go home. So I still see those girls today, and they giggle and laugh. Says, Halloweenville, where your underclothes sprayed with black flag or something like that. So,
vicious little kids.
Well, they came with the intentions of tormenting me, and that's what they did. Yeah. So they had their fun, and we never lost our temper or anything, so it was good. Worked out okay.
33 years ago,
I never missed. I never missed a year, and then out of the 33, I went 8 years with Bracken County, and we went to Camp Ernst until they were invited to North Central. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's why YMCA came.
Mm-hmm.
We ate at round tables. We had foods in round bowls. You ate the old-fashioned way, like if you were on a dinner table. And it was really interesting and different than anything we'd ever had.
Good night.
So, go ahead.
I'm just going to ask, all this many years, how many more are you going to get to 4-H?
Well, I told Bill and Shad I'd like to try for 50, but I think 50 is getting awfully far in the distance. But I enjoy it, and as long as I enjoy it, and I feel that I have something to offer, I feel like I would like to continue to do it, and my health holds up and everything, and I think I'd like to say this, that I think 4-H has done more for me than I've ever given to 4-H. I mean, my kids today, you think the little devils aren't learning anything, or they aren't paying any attention, and you go back, and when they come around today, and they say what you've done for them, that's all you need, that's the type of thank you,
that's pay enough.
That's right. And I think, as I said, I think it's been more for me than for the kids. I've always said this. And
have these kids gone into, some of them have gone on to college, I guess.
Oh, a lot of them. We have extension agents, several of them. We have lawyers. We have doctors. We have factory workers. We have just housewives. Not just housewives,
yeah.
But housewives. Okay?
That's good.
And we have all, they are in all walks of life, and they're still down to earth, still remember, so it's nice. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are getting involved and doing a little work with their children, and this is nice that they remembered what they had, because I think the experiences at 4-H teaches them something that they don't get in all the other organizations they belong to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've given to them. We train our kids, and then we're losing them in high school, FHA and FFA. And the high school teacher is my former 4-H'er, and she can't wait till she gets our 4-H kids, because they have so much to offer. So she's waiting for our kids to become officers in FHA. It's really nice.
We've made a good foundation for them.
Sure. Works out rather well. And,
I guess if you were to punch a time clock, I usually tell extension agents coming over the job that we expect them to work 48 hours a day, 14 days a week.
I know.
And sometimes they feel like they may have worked that long.
Sure.
How many hours a week do you think you put in before?
Oh, I wouldn't have any idea. My husband told me that they had, we've been collecting money, we'd be millionaires if we had invested correctly. And I have always told them from the state level down that I wish they'd give me my salary at 5 cents an hour, and I'd be satisfied. So I told them the other day I thought it'd raise it to 7 cents.
Inflation.
I don't know the hours. I wouldn't have any idea. I just don't know.
Well, you've worked with a variety of agents over the years, extension agents in agriculture, home economics, and 4-H. What do you see as the most desirable qualities of a good 4-H agent?
Well, I think they should be able to work with people, they should be able to work with the young people, and of all things, they should offer something for the volunteer leader. I think back when I started as a leader, and I think if I had someone to tell me a few things that would have started me, but we expect a new leader to come in and become involved immediately and know the program. We scare them to death before they get started, and it isn't really fair to them. But as an extension agent, I think they need to get along with everyone. We've had some that only stayed 6 weeks, and we had one that married and left, and then, like, Roger went back to school, and Walter changed, and Lee and Billy Gosser was our first person that was the third person on staff. Lee and Bert Collins and Billy Gosser were the first three that worked together. We've had a lot of changes. I think in all the years I've been there, we've only had one or two that were really sad. We had one that walked away from the university and never told anybody he was leaving. He went home to Virginia, and there we were without anybody. But as a whole, I can't really complain about any of them that I've worked with. I think they've all been super.
I asked one retired 4-H agent in Western Kentucky how many years he thought it would take for one to become a successful 4-H agent, and his comment was 10 years. And he didn't pull any punches about that.
Well, this is my idea, and I could be very wrong, but this has always been my idea. If you have a willing group of volunteers that have been around a little while, I can start them out on the right foot, and they're willing to listen and willing to go with the program until they have the opportunity to change that program. They can do it in less than 10 years, a year, 2 years. I give them 2 years, maybe less time than that. I think they can fall into the routine. Then that gives them the opportunity to be satisfied with what we're doing, and then they implement what they would like to do, and that gives us all the opportunity to work together. And I think this is what we need to do to help them.
It's a tough life. But as you said, they've got to be a people person.
Right. And if you don't like people, don't get an extension. No.
Exactly.
No. That's right.
You had a few more notes there. I was trying to look over your shoulder at them. Let's see what else you had to add for.
Oh, I just wanted to say when we were doing school clubs, we had between 700 and 1,000. Today we have 220 in organized clubs without the school kids, you know. We did projects for the dozens. We had chickens. We had everything under the sun as projects. Today they're a little limited, a little different, and perhaps we might have 50 kids that enter 4-H rally, over 700 at that time. And, of course, kids have so many things to do today that they aren't interested in, you know, doing all of these things that we once did in 4-H. Community clubs are really good because of the community activities that you can do as a community club. If you only have 18 or 20, mm-hmm. You know, you can do a lot of community activities, and we love to do those things. We love to work. I don't know what I have down here. I just made those. The variety shows, we've had great variety shows. We don't have a variety show in our area anymore. We don't have one in the county. We used to go and have standing room only, and it was such a challenge to win the variety show, and everyone wanted to win, and they would work for days and days and days, and we had a beautiful minstrel. This tape kind of tells you back in the time, and we took the kids to St. Patrick, and we said, now, kids, when the show's over, let's not go to the bathroom until all the adults can get with you to help get costumes off. They went to the bathroom and got cold water, and they had everything all over the bathroom, black from top to bottom. We had to clean before we left home, and they were a mess themselves. But the variety show, they have brought out a lot of good talents in kids, and a lot of musical kids, and a lot of our 4-H kids have gone on to be music majors and what have you from just those little activities. And it makes it nice when they can participate in something like that locally and give them the opportunity before people.
But, it gives them a good foundation to get over stage fright. That's important.
Speech and demonstrations used to be such a big thing. Now, you know, they're small. We're getting smaller, and it has really changed, and it's been hard to sort of roll with the tide, but you have to adjust. And
now, currently, you have a former 4-H'er who's on state team council as an officer, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you had others in that role?
Yes. Of course, Charles Comer. He's with us.
Charles
is from Mason County,
yeah,
certainly.
I got that, sure.
And Charles ran for state teen council president and didn't get it. Then Matthew came along, and Matthew, his brother, became state teen council president.
I knew Matthew.
And, of course, Ann Porter, that is our home economics agent in Mason County now, is our national alumni winner. One of our little kids. Never won anything in her life. She was always second or third place. Never gave up. And she's really done well in life. You know, there's just a lot of them that you could name. And
it gives you a great deal of satisfaction to think back over the kids that you've worked with.
Yes, and to see their lifestyles change and to see what they've become. And at the time, they just didn't really know what they wanted to do and kind of things that had really changed. I think I've served on every committee and every office that probably the county, area, and state have had to offer, and I've enjoyed that. It requires more time, and I've enjoyed all that.
Have you been to senior conference with them as well?
Yes.
No?
Been to Chicago with them.
My goodness.
Been to Washington, D.C., and the last trip I made to Washington, D.C., we were caught in West Virginia, 2 feet of snow, unplanned, and we had to lay over with 4 busloads of kids, and the first 2 busloads had their breakfast on Sunday morning, and the other 2, the lights went out, and we had to wait till they got breakfast, so we were entirely a day and a half late. So then we worked from, like, I would get my kids up at 4, get their hair washed and everything, and we would run till 11 o'clock when the lights were out. And several nights I went to bed with my clothes on because I didn't have time to get my own shower and whatever. But
you were staying at the 4-H Center, weren't you?
Yes. And the year that Roger and I were asked to go with kids to National Club Congress, we did everything under the sun with the kids. We made extra opportunities for them. We took them shopping. We took them on the subway. We took them to the museums. We took them extra places that other states didn't do all these things. But we have tried to encourage them to, you know, be involved in.
And you, in Mason County, you also have a district tax law, don't you, Corey?
Yes, yes.
Did that go over pretty well? Or did it have any
trouble getting passed? No. Very quietly. It went over. Every once in a while, somebody said, well, now, when did we do this? Well, it's been several years, but it certainly helps. Mm-hmm. And when they built the new building on Route 68, it became a meeting place for homemakers, for 4-H and everything, and it's really been helpful. We were proud when we were in the Farm Bureau building, so it's wide open. And
I have not been to the new building yet.
It's nice, no. Really nice.
I'm looking forward to it.
In fact, I think we've nearly worn the carpet out already, but it gives us an opportunity. And see, when you take things away from the school, you need a meeting place, and, you know, the extension office has become the usual meeting place for most homemakers clubs, most, you know, 4-H kids. And it's worked rather well.
Well, I've got 2 minutes left on the tape. Any final comments here?
Well, I think I've enjoyed my years. I think if I were to go back tomorrow and start over, I would do the same thing again. I think that I hope that I have offered something to the kids as well as they have given to me. You meet wonderful friends in 4-H that you don't meet anywhere else. Volunteers are one group of special people.
Mm-hmm.
And I have friends that, you know, I've made years ago, and we still keep in contact. And it's just been a joyous way with me. It's just something I never expected to do, and I became involved, and I'm certainly glad I did.
I am, too, because Extension could not survive without volunteer leaders. Agents can't do it all. It's folks like you that are dedicated and devoted to the kids.
Well, I find that our young folks don't have the time with 2 working parents, and it makes a difference. And it takes someone to take up with other people and work with them, and it's a joy. I think my years on the State Leaders Council, I enjoyed. We came through a lot of successful things, and planned work, and we went from our treasure to Friends for 4-H,
mm-hmm.
and of course Coleman's retirement,
mm-hmm.
and hiring of Bill Unshide. I served on that committee, and I enjoyed that, and I think we made a good decision.
I think so.
Yes, I think so.
I agree with you.
I certainly think we, I know that at the time it was an awfully hard decision, and I told him one night we voted the secret ballot, and he said, why did you do that? And I said, everybody voted their heart, what they wanted. But it has been joy, yes.
Thank you so much, Lady Valdor.
You're perfectly welcome.
That is the end of the tape, just right
okay.
there.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.